Okay, here we go. We're on page Kuf Chaf Aleph, Os Kuf Samach Hey, 165. We're talking about the idea of love, and how we can love Hashem is to remember the following 2 points, which he's going to review right now in the next 2 lines. Harei Sheish B'Kach Beis Chalokim. We have 2 parts, 2 steps involved in this love. Aleph Shlila Samachshava Shu Choshav Me'atzmo Shu Asa Me'atzmo. First of all, is negating the thought which he thinks of himself, that he did these things by himself. Number one, a person can think he accomplishes this all by himself. So we've got to negate this. Okay. And number two, Hasoga Shakol Mimeni Yisbarach Shmo, and to also feel that everything comes from Hashem. Right, these are the 2 points. It's not me, but it is Hashem. V'zu avodas ha'adam. This is the service of a human being. Ki b'teva ha'adam rutz ve'enu mispon klal. The nature of a person is to run and not reflect at all. I think we even did this one. Maybe not. So, for example, what is the idea of not reflecting at all and how one should reflect? So, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was the shepherd, how did he know, and what prompted him to know, that the burning bush was not being consumed? You walk by, you see something burning, so then you just keep going. I mean, since when do you... But the fact is, he was very mindful of that bush. When he looked at things, and he just didn't walk by them so simply. And when you look at it for a little while and he realizes that it's not getting consumed, then he asks the question. He wonders, why is that so? So that's a very important message that little incident shows us, that, you know, we just don't walk by incidences and say, oh, that's average, that's the way it should be, etc., etc. And this is the problem, that most of us, we just walk by and look at things and don't give a second thought to them. Etc. So by nature, your initial feeling is you're smart, you understand, you know, you do, you accomplish this and that. Therefore, it needs his bainanus. Lots of reflection. I'll call pradu prad on every detail of life. Mehechen yesh lizos. From where do I have this? Mikocho. Mikochi, is it from my strength? O mimeni yisbarach shmo, or does it come from Hashem? Hadam rogel lachshov sheyesh lo siyata dishmaya. The common misconception that people think about is that they get siyata dishmaya. They get a divine assistance. So how do we think divine assistance means? It has the word assist. In other words, I score, like in hockey, I score the goal and he assists. Right? So, okay, he fed me the pass. But you know what kind of a move I made on the goalie? It's the kind of wrist shot, and I got it right up the upper left-hand corner, the only little spot that I could have made. Yeah, but what about the guy who gave it? Yeah, he gave me an assist. I'm not going to deny that he assisted me, but I did most of the work. And that's the way we look at Hashem. You know, I do most of the work, and I need a little bit of help from Hashem. That's what he thinks. As Harov Hu Oseh, he thinks he does the majority. V'Kodesh Baruch Hu Ozer Lo, and Hashem helps him. That's what we think siyata dishmaya means. U'be'emezeh ena klal. That's not true at all. Elagam mashahu oseh. Even what the person does himself, hakol mikocho yisparach shemo. This all comes from God's strength. The ability to make the goal was also God's strength. Hein hamachshavas hatovas, regardless if it's good thoughts. Vein hakoach hagufani lamo v'liknos, and whether it's the physical strength to make the effort to acquire something. Hakol zehu matana mimenu yisparach shemo. This is all a gift from Hashem. Gam ma shenikra hishtadlus, even that which we coin the phrase effort, even the effort that you make. Let's say you're in business and you're making the effort, and you know Hashem is the one who brings you the clients, and Hashem puts it in the mind of the client to have them want to buy from you or not. But at least I'm making the effort. So he's saying even the effort that you make, the strength necessary to make the effort, v'hadas v'ha'etzos heichan lihishtadol, and the intellect and the advice, so to speak, the thoughts, how to make the effort. That's all from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Nimtza shakol matana mimeni yisparach shmo. It comes out that everything is a gift from Hashem. So it comes out, this is going to upset some people, that your hishtadlus, your effort, is absolutely zero. You know, your hishtadlus, your effort, so even my effort, it's all Hashem doing effort. So now the question becomes, so what am I doing? What am I doing? In other words, where do I fit into this at all if everything's from Hashem? So your hishtadlus is one thing, to decide to do the will of Hashem or not. That's pinpoint free will choice. That's what we talked about earlier in the book, and it's coming back to us. That pinpoint free will choice, the decision to say, I want to do this. I want to do the will of Hashem or not. That is about all your free will choice that you have. You may say, and to want to continue to do the will of Hashem. That is the free will choice. Beyond that, there's not a lot that you really do. Hashem is the one who told you to make the hishtadlus. So I've decided to listen to Hashem to make that hishtadlus, which I know that Hashem is even doing himself. Now that's really true. We don't think that way, and that's going to take a lot of effort. And the more, if we would think that way, we'd be a lot happier people. So, you know, today, you know, last night, you made a decision. You want to get up this morning. I mean, you don't make the decision this morning, because then for sure you're not going to get up this morning. You know, you make the decision at night, you put the alarm on, and you have your mindset, I want to get up at 6:15, because I want to do the Ratzon Hashem, I want to learn Torah. Good. Yashar Koyach, you get credit for that. Not even pushing the alarm, you don't get credit for that. You just get credit for saying, I want to be in shul tomorrow morning. Everything else you do, Hashem gives you the strength to do all of it. Even to push the alarm, He gives you the strength. He turns the alarm, the strength to get up in the morning is all based on one, you know, it's Hashem is giving you the strength to get up. That's why you say, Moda ani lefanecha. I give you thanks to you, Hashem, that you got me up. You're the one who woke me up. Okay, now, let's say you're tired. You didn't get a lot of sleep, so now you're tired. So now you may have to make another decision. Do I want to roll over, or do I want to get up? Okay, that's your decision as well. It's your decision as well. And how strongly you want to get up is your decision. How much does it really matter to you? I gotta get up. If I sleep anymore, I'm gonna miss the class. Okay, at that point, then God takes over and He gets your body out of the bed, and everything else Hashem takes care of the rest. Now, it could be, you know, you might, 5 minutes into it, you might feel really tired. I don't know, maybe I should go back to sleep. No, I want to get up. Okay? So that you want to, that's your free will choice. And then God helps that body. In other words, that effort to want to get yourself out of that bed, good, that's that desire, that's your free will choice. But the actual planting of the feet and the fact the feet rest on the ground and give you the structure and support to pick the body out of the bed, that's all from Hashem. And you know that's true, because when the day you wake up with a backache and you can't get out of the bed, then you know that Hashem didn't want you to go to the class today. Okay. So there's all kinds of steps along the way, but what is yours is your will. Ein davar omed lifnei haratzon, nothing stands in the way of a true desire. And the degree of how desirous you are of doing the will of Hashem, that is dependent on you. You could have a weak desire. Yeah, I want to, you know, remember, you can fool yourself and think you want to go, and therefore you wonder, I want to go, and how come I'm not going to shul? I wanted to go. The answer is you really didn't want to go so much. A little bit you wanted, but not a lot. Now there's various degrees of how much you want something. So if you really want it badly, you're going to make sure to go. Now, of course, there's always things out of your control. God could say, I know you want to go, but guess what? I don't want you to go today. That also can happen. How do you know that? You know that, you woke up and you physically can't, you have 104 fever. And you have no strength to get out of the bed. Right? So, okay, then you know, for whatever reason, Hashem didn't want you to go to shul today. Now, again, you got to be careful. Don't blame Hashem for a lot of things that aren't his responsibility, and make sure to take responsibility where it belongs. You know, a person can say, I think I don't feel well today. When you feel absolutely fine, you know, my kids, they don't want to go to school, right? I'm sick. Followed by, right? To prove the fact that they're sick. So, a well-trained parent knows when it's the real thing and when it's phony baloney. So yeah, the kids will talk it into themselves. So hopefully an adult is smarter than that, but a lot of times not. And you have to know when it's really something you can't do, when it isn't. So you really don't have that much control of your life. That's what we keep saying over and over. You only control your free will choice. And that's all. And everything else is coming from Hashem. No questions? Okay, fine. It's not the first time we said this idea. Yes?
What if you do things that cause you to get sick physically, and then you don't have the choice to do something that you otherwise would actually do that is good?
Okay, good question. What if you do things that cause you to physically get sick and they can't? So that, the Gemara says, that is, you know, was your free will choice too? In other words, if you decide to not listen to what the doctor tells you to do, then you have made a decision to not care about your health. And that was a decision not to do the Ratzon Hashem.
Okay, so that decision outweighed your decision to otherwise want to go to the class, which you can't now because you have 104 feet.
That's right. So there's a concept in Judaism we know called Avera Goreres Avera. One sin leads to another. So you decide to do one thing, and that's not a good thing. It takes you down the wrong path. And when you're in the wrong path, it's hard to do the things that you may have wanted to do had you been on the right path. That's why the Rambam is very strong when he talks in his section in the Yad Chazaka, where he talks about the section of health. He has halachas of health. He has a whole section on how to live a healthy life. And he prefaces and says, if you're not healthy, you don't have the physical body to do the will of Hashem. And without an able body, you are not able to do the will of Hashem. So therefore, it goes without saying, the Rambam is saying, if you choose not to lead a healthy lifestyle, then you are also choosing not to be able to get up to davening at some future time when you get sick. If the doctor says you got to lose weight, you got to exercise, you have a heart condition. You know, a person with a heart condition is not able to do the things that a healthy person can do. And if you're choosing to ignore that, what you really are doing is you're choosing to ignore many things. Now, you may not be thinking of that when you're eating, overeating all that. But that's what the Rambam, like, really says it very strongly. That you have to realize you are making a conscious decision not to do your Avodas Hashem in a long-term, regular basis because you're deciding not to be healthy. So there's many of these decisions that we make. You know, you make a decision where you're going to work. That's a decision. And because that decision, you have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. So you've decided not to daven with a minyan. That's also part of the decision, right? Those are decisions. It's not, well, what do you mean? I want to daven with a minyan, but I can't because of the work I'm at. No. You knew when you took the job that's going to happen. So now you knew. So there's multiple decisions running out of one decision. And you have to be conscious. That's why whenever you make any decision, you have to think it through. You have to say, okay, I have to make a decision. Hashem, give me the ability to think it through. Now, some things, depending where you're at. I mean, of course, the first thing you think of, can I go to Minyan if I have this job? You buy a house somewhere. First thing you're supposed to say, is it near a shul? Well, since when don't you think of it's near a shul? If you're not thinking of it, you know, people do these things. They buy these great houses, you know, whatever. And then you ask them, so where's the shul? Oh, I didn't think of that. So that tells a lot about where the person's at. If when they buy a house, they don't even think if there's a shul nearby, it's a major problem. So you have to, there's a lot of things that go into every single decision you make. Right? You'll learn, right? Okay, Kuf Samach Vav. Now, another example. Another example. 166. Nitein dugmaos ledavar. We'll give you more examples. Kate said, "Yikna adam es hakorish hakol mekodesh brachu." How a person can acquire the recognition that everything is from Hashem. Adam Yoshev, a person is sitting, Vishato Shasa Sheket, and it's a quiet time. Vum is bonin, and he reflects. Mi nosad li es habas zug shali. Who gave me my spouse? Keitzat zachisibo. How did I merit such a spouse? Mikochi mechachmosi. Was it my strength? Was it my wisdom? Lo velo. Not at all. Raka kodesh baruch hu nosad li osav. Or rather, Hashem gave her to me. V'chal chachmosi chodoma ein al kodesh baruch hu. And all the wisdom that I had to use to be able to say the right things, to get her to say yes, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? You don't say, oh, I was clever. I knew how to catch this boy or catch this girl. So what are you talking about? It's Hashem gave you the ability to be able to do this. You go into every other detail. Aladira Shabahu Gor, in the house that he lives in. Veniris Loka Knia Mutzlechas, and it looks like it was a successful acquisition. And the house, you picked a good neighborhood and the value's gone up. He's bought and reflect as we turn the page. Me nasan li esadira hazu. Who gave me this home? Haim al yirechach maso bacharzo. Was it my wisdom that I chose it? O shazam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this comes from Hashem. Kach yargal atzmo li sponin od prat vi od prat b'chol hashol. A person should look and reflect on every single detail of what he has in his life. Zman ra, for a long time. Yom achar yom, day after day. Keep thinking about all these things and recognizing that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more you will reflect on this, then obviously the more you will appreciate what Hashem does for you, and that will cause you to love Hashem more. And if you think that everything is coming to you and everything came from you, then you're never going to be able to come to love Hashem. If you think I was the one who was clever to figure out what house to buy and what stock to buy and all these things, and I'm the expert at all this, and all the wealth comes from me, then you have no reason to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah?
Well, following the mentioned question, if you've made a really bad decision, and you end up where a lot of bad consequences follow from that, those bad consequences follow from Hashem?
Again, it depends. If you make a bad decision and bad consequences come from it, do we say that it all came from Hashem? Do you want to give any kind of example? Because I can understand that in two ways. Was it a bad Yerushamayim decision, or was it a bad mundane decision?
A bad Yerushamayim decision. You bought a house in a neighborhood where you shouldn't have bought. You prioritized the house, the size, as opposed to buying something smaller that's closer to the Jewish area, say.
Then you're responsible for a lot of other things that come out of that.
So that's your responsibility, that's not Hashem.
You know, no, let's say simple, I'll exaggerate a little bit. You buy in a not near a shul, so you never wind up going to shul, you never daven for minyan for 30 years. And your kids never know to daven in a minyan. And instead and you tell them we have to keep Shabbos, but since they're not going to minyan, they eventually say there's nothing to do, and they start watching TV, blah, blah, blah. And then they become non-religious place. I don't know. Right? So you had a lot to do with those results. You made the decision that many other things are going to come out of that, beyond that. And something you should have thought. Now, Hashem, if he wanted to, he could have come in and given you some special blessings. He could have, caused your finances to collapse to the point where you have to sell the house and buy another house, and then that one happens to be near a shul. Then he could decide not to, and that's already his decisions. But you bear a lot of responsibility for a lot of the mistakes that you make. You have to think, Ezel Chacham or Osanolet, a smart person thinks ahead. You got to realize decisions you make at certain times will have an impact for years and years to come. And you can't just assume Hashem is going to take care of things. You have to make the Yerushamayim decision. That's the best Yerushamayim decision. Even though you can make the best Yerushamayim decision, still things can go wrong. But that's already not your problem. If you say, I'm buying a house near the shul, I'm putting the kids in the best school, I'm doing everything I can, and guess what? Your kids still don't come out good. Okay, then that was already some other reasons and not you. You have to, you're only in control as much as you're in control, and that's what Hashem asks you to do. Okay? So now, we go on. V'nei t'chila mispainen b'machshavto. In the beginning, you reflect in your mind. You don't verbalize it. But v'achachach yomer came a thief. Then you say it with your mouth. U'b'tchila b'lasha nistar. And when you say it with your mouth, you start with that hidden, second person wording of HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosan li, by saying Hashem, He gave it to me. But as time passes, v'achachach b'lasha nochach. Then you speak from third person to second person. And then you speak directly. Ata yisparach nasatali. You, O blessed one, gave me. Kvikishar bor, la'el, inyan adibar blush nisar v'nochach. As we explained before, the difference between third person and second person. Ken yamshich, that's how you continue this. Adasher yaskel v'yargi shein dover kazemikoch. Until you really understand that there's nothing like this that's in your strength. Even if this is from his wisdom, even this thinking is his wisdom and his thinking. This all the intelligence of Hashem. And Hashem gives him the wisdom and the thinking. In which you have to decide, I'm deciding that I want to reflect. That's my decision. I want to reflect on the blessings that God gave me. Now, people can be more intuitive and deeper understanding, and some are less intuitive, right? That's already up to Hashem. How deep you're going to take it, some people are more clever than others. Hashem gives certain people more cleverness than other people. So some will have a simple understanding of thanking Hashem, and some will have a deeper understanding of thanking Hashem. And you could ask Hashem to give you more. You say, you know, I don't feel like I'm really getting it to the depths. And you daven to Hashem to give you more. And then he may give it to you, may not. He could very well do that. But there's no aspect of me at all. And here's the good phrase, is going to repeat a few times on this page now. He is just like a guardian that Hashem entrusted him to watch things. That nothing is his. Doesn't matter if the bank says the money's yours, if the government says the money is yours. You know it's not yours. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. That's it. Ela kol ha-shalos. It's such a hard concept. Everything that you have, gufo, mamono, machshavto, diburo, hargoshos, etc., etc. His body, his money, his thoughts, his speech, his feelings, etc. Everything. Hakol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It all belongs to Hashem. Your health, it's all a gift from Hashem. So, therefore, you can't do whatever you want to because it isn't your body. God gave it to you and he tells you what to do with it. This whole concept in the secular world that, what I do in the privacy of my own home is it's not true at all because the body is not yours. So therefore, you have no right to do anything that, you can only do what Hashem says, here's the body, here's what I want you to do with it and follow my instructions. And that's it. You don't have much choice over here. You have one choice. Do I want to listen to God or do I not want to listen to God? That's everything we said on the Shabbos class with the tree. The whole idea of the tree. The tree, the eights, the atzmius, the independence. I have independence. I can choose to listen to Hashem. I can choose not to listen to Hashem. That's it. There's nothing else and everything you decide, all will flow from that. And of course, Hashem will give you extremely painful decisions to have to make often. Listening to Hashem will have consequences. You may lose friends. You may lose money. You may lose a lot of things. You may think you're losing them. Right? And then Hashem will make it appear as such. And it's many times it'll be a painful decision. But at the end of the day, that's the only decision you can make. And there's nothing more than that. And you have to realize, everything you have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single thing you mamish have, nothing. Now, there's a great illusion that would suggest the opposite. And Hashem Bedavka wants the world to be in a way that the illusion is such that you think it was everything you decided. But at the end of the day, it's not true. At the end of the day, you got to realize that it's just, and it's not yours. None of it is yours. Once you get over that hump, the stress level goes way down. Way down. Because then you're not so worried about losing things. You're not so worried about people taking things away from you. and then the amount of hishtadlus in certain areas goes down, and the amount of hishtadlus in other areas goes up. That's what the Chovas Halvavas talks a lot about. He says, how foolish are people that, you know, what are you expending your thinking on? Are you spending your thinking on physical things or on spiritual things? Right? And he says how foolish the people are who the thing that's been determined by God already, you're spending so much time thinking. And Hashem said, what a fool. He already decided what he's getting, no matter how much he's thinking. Right? And the spiritual things that are totally dependent on how much you think about it, you don't think very much at all. And that's what you're really in control of. So what happens if, you know, you bought your brand new car, right? First day you have it, right? You're backing out of this lot and this guy comes around and rams you in the back. Right? So no fault insurance. You're getting so upset. So what are you upset about? It was God's car. God sent the guy to crash into his car. So what's your problem? Are you so upset when your friend backs out of the driveway and someone else hits his car? You thought, it's from Hashem, right? But when it's your car, it's not my car. And your insurance is going up, it's not my money. It's not my car, it's not my money. You know, so what's my problem? And you're either going to have, and if you don't have money to pay, it's just, you don't have money to pay. So what can I do? How do you react? That's what you're in control of. How are you going to react? Once you get over that hump, you know, you worried about someone coming in your house and making the carpet dirty. You know, is that the end of the world? You know, you're worried if the kid makes a mark on the wall. It's not your wall. It's not your kid. It's not your crayons. What are you worried about? It's not your kid. Your children are not yours, right? You got that? They're not yours. What do you mean? I delivered him. What do you mean? If Hashem doesn't want you to have kids, unfortunately, you'll find out very quickly whose kids they are. When God decides people can't have children, when they want children, all of a sudden everybody knows where the kids come from, right? And now that they came easy, you decided, and boom, it comes out, and it's not true. So if it's like the kids aren't yours, the wall isn't yours, the floor isn't yours, nothing's yours. You know what's yours? You're going to get angry when they make them? That's yours. Just get over that. Once you get past that, you know, then the stress level goes way, way down in so many areas of your life. You know, your kids aren't yours. What you can, God says, listen, this is your pikadon. This is the thing I'm trusting you with. I want you to watch my kid and do the best job. And if you want to know how to watch my kid, you're going to ask the rabbi who knows what you're supposed to do by watching the kid, because he'll tell you what the Torah has to say about it. And then once you've done that, and you ask the rabbi tells you that, then you don't have nothing to worry about. And then what happens, happens. Right? What happens? Even, again, you can listen to all the instructions, and if God, you know, Yitzhak and Rivka, you listen to all the instructions, and they still got an Esav, then at the end of the day, that's not your problem anymore. It's not your problem. If you did everything you're supposed to do, and the kid decided to be a Russia, that's not your problem. Now, of course, you're not jumping for joy, and you have obligations to try to how to learn to deal with a child who's a Russia, or whatever the case may be. But you don't have guilt. That's what's up. You say, I should have, I could have, I would have, and I can never forgive myself. You never have to feel that way. Because you know what? You asked the Shiloh, and the Torah said to do this, and you tried your best, and that's it. And leave the worrying to God. That's it. You know, as the Allstate commercial of years ago said, you're in good hands with Allstate. You know, you just put yourself in his hands and say, I've done what I have to do. And that's it. And it put it past you and go on. And it makes life so much easier if you're willing to. And it's not that you are, as the secular people say, oh, that means you're resigning yourself from life and you're not taking responsibility for your life. It's the opposite. You are taking responsibility for your life. That's the not getting it. You are, and you're choosing, I'm not going to spend that many hours in the business, way more than necessary. I'm putting more hours into my spirituality. And I'm going to say, God, I'm working 40 hours and that's normal, and don't make me work anymore. And I'm not working anymore. And that's my decision, and it's up to you, because you're going to decide how I'm going to get the money anyway. And forget about it. Good night. And you go on to the next thing. You worry about how much Rambam you know. That's what you lose sleep over. Did I remember the Rambam we learned last night? Did I remember not to talk Lashon Hara last night? All this, that's what, that you are concerned. You're concerned about things you're supposed to be concerned about. And beyond that, you're not. Yes, ma'am. Right.
Absolutely required. But then with the money that he has left, he seems to be very extravagant. Gives, you know, like $1 million simchas, you know. If he's a Baal Pikadon, there are certain laws as to how he's allowed to use that Pikadon. Is he going to be answerable for everything?
Listen, a person, so for the sake of the tape recorder here, if a person is blessed with wealth and he gives more than his share of tzedakah, but when he has his own simchas, he's extravagant with his simchas, and, you know, but if a poor person comes, he gives him a nice donation too, right? So is he going to be answered? So the answer is very simple. He has to ask God what kind of wedding he should be making. That's all. You know, it's not. And, you know, I don't think the Ratzon of Hashem is to be extravagant at weddings. I don't think that's the Ratzon of Hashem. I cannot believe that's it. And I don't think any of the Gedolim really feel that way. They may not say it as much as they want to, because, you know, these same people pay their rabbi salaries. And therefore they have to be a little careful what they say. You know, but I can't believe that is not the Ratzon of Hashem. Ratzon of Hashem is not to, whatever, spend $8,000 on flowers that came in on the Concord this morning, or whatever. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. That is not the Ratzon Hashem. It's not the Ratzon Hashem to spend that much time planning a wedding. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. You know, you held accountable. How did you use the time I gave you in this world? And you certain things, you know. Again, what are you going to say? My wife. It's my wife. The rich guy's going to say, my wife wants it. Oh no, that's different. So, hiring the wedding planner, if you don't have the time to hire a wedding planner, there's nothing wrong with that per se. If you could be using your time better.
And she spent $1 million. You told her
she was. You give her a budget. You say, wedding planner, it's a $20,000 limit. I want A, B, C, and D. And you figure it out. And you're getting $1,000 to arrange it or whatever. That's fine. Because
you want an extravagant wedding, but
not. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. It's not the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is not to be extravagant.
Extravagant is a relative word, right?
Okay.
You've got $100 million in the bank.
It does.
You spend $500,000 on a simcha. That's less than you and I would spend.
But that's not necessary. So they have to ask someone who knows what the Ratzon Hashem is and to say, what kind of wedding should I make? And you, because you have to realize there's a lot of people who are not rich who go to these weddings, and it eats their hearts out. And they feel they have to keep up with this, and they have to contend with this. You have to realize you're part of a community, you're part of Klal Yisrael, and there are certain standards that should be for everybody, and why are you really doing this if not to show off your wealth? That's why you're doing it, and let's be honest, to show off your wealth. I know all these bubka excuses, they're ridiculous. Well, what do you mean? I deal with millionaires. And if they're going to think I'm poor, they're not going to give me the business. Idiot, you. Who gave you those millions of dollars, Mr. Reichman? I'm not meaning them. I mean the Yiddish word Reichman. Mr. Rich Man. It came from God. So does it matter? This thing. We have to. What do you mean? It's expected of me. What's expected of you? What Hashem expects of you is what's expected, not what your clients. You think, if I don't do this, my clients won't give me the business. You're an idiot. Hashem is the one who gave you the business the whole time. So now because of this, and you realize that you think people, your average person, how do they relate to this? And does Hashem want you to spend the money that I gave you that money, so you should be giving more tzedakah? That's all. I'm not saying, you know, you go with a beat up Volvo and it breaks down every minute. Okay, you know, God bless you. I wasn't even thinking of
that.
No, I'm saying you're a rich guy, so you're entitled to buy a new car. That doesn't break down. You're entitled to want a car. Your time is valuable because it's for God's You're making a lot of money, so you can give a lot of money. That's the only reason you're rich. The only reason you're rich is to give a lot of money. And guess what? You are now not a private individual. Just like a rabbi is not a private individual because of the position he is in, a rich man is not a private individual anymore, and he's not there to buy the private island for $3 million so he could have privacy from people. You are now a klal person, and you are part of the klal, and that money was for the klal. All you were is now a trustee of all that money. So you're entitled to have a part of that. You're entitled to have a part of that. And okay, you know, certain things maybe are more required for a man in your position. Yes, you may need to have a better car because you have to be in certain places quickly and you can't waste your time because you are an important person. And you need to be able to break through certain doors for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's going to be a certain leeway, but to the point where it's just waste, you know. So it's, you have to cover the chairs with white table with what? I'm just saying, a chair is a chair. I don't get it. A chair is a chair. You know, I'm saying, okay, certain things you get, so you don't have to wait in line to get space. But some things are just ridiculous, and you could tell when you're at such a thing or not. Yes. Yeah, and he can get it from non-Jews. Sure he can. But that's not my problem. My problem is one thing.
But if Nafshenu is supposed to make $20,000 on that affair, then they can't do it unless this guy hires them. And non-Jews are not going to hire Nafshenu.
He can get money from other ways, can't he?
Yeah, it's true.
And that the car doesn't have to break down. The car doesn't have to break down. He doesn't need another $1,000. A lot of times we need money because there's expenses. And if the expense isn't there, you don't have to spend the money. And let's say Mr. Nafshenu, he can get more, what do you call it? What's his profession? He can get more architectural work. He plays less in the band. I'm saying none of these guys, you know, do a band for a living. I mean, nobody does that for a living. You have other jobs. To the degree they have other jobs, they don't need to play. That's not my concern, you know. And Mr. Nafshenu is getting X amount of dollars. Doesn't matter how many weddings he's doing. He's getting the money from one way or another. He could buy a ticket for our Purim lottery and get $5,000. And he doesn't have to work for a couple nights. Right? And again, how much you charge, you know, you charge a reasonable amount, that's fair for your time, for your effort to make a reasonable parnasa. But you don't have to have a 10-piece band. You know, you just need enough to make it a reasonable thing. It's not only an individual aveira now, it's like a community aveira. Is we've set the standard so high that we can't think of anything that's less normal than that. So, okay, that's always, and I appreciate the question. So, what's normal? 2-piece band, 3-piece band, what's normal? So, Chazal would tell us what's normal, but people don't listen anymore. And that's the problem. So, rabbis did set a standard, but nobody's listening to them anyway. Nobody listens to it. And what's worse, the rabbis who set the standard, who said, we won't go to the wedding, if you don't listen, they end up going to the wedding. Because those are the guys who write their checks.
Oh, wait a second. So, if that's okay, then why?
It's not okay. It's not okay. I'm saying it's not okay.
So, then, wait, if the rabbis who are setting the standard are going to those weddings because that's who pays the bills, then why should we?
Because people aren't listening to them. You know, the rabbis are only as strong as those people who listen to them. If they stop listening to them, it becomes a problem. It's a problem. I'm not talking about these. Many a rabbi has sold his soul over pressure. You know, we lose members in this shul when I won't be willing to sell my soul. We lose members. Okay, and that's, no, I have a right to talk in this shul, right? We've lost members because of that, Mitch, right? And you know what? There is a Yetzirah in the back of my mind that says, you know, Rabbi, if enough people leave, you won't have a job. There is a Yetzirah, and I have to say, you know what? That's God's problem to give me a parnasa, and it's God's problem for me to marry off all my kids, and God will decide which kid gets married off that the other side will pay for the wedding, and God will decide when I have to pay for the wedding. You know, I gotta stop. I only have to know one thing. As the rabbi, I know he wants it quiet and shul. That I know, and I know that we have to make sure that it's quiet without hurting people's feelings. That is what we have to do. If people decide, there's other shuls that we're well aware of that the rabbis do not feel that that is something that they can and will do. And the other rabbis will know they're going to lose their job, and half the members will leave. You know, it's for them to answer that Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I can't answer for them. And everyone at the end of the day was going to have to answer on those questions, and it's frightening questions. It's not, believe me, you don't want your kids to be a rabbi. It's not, you know, it's not a job you want them to have, because you're going to have to suffer a lot of consequences for the decisions that you make, and you better be very fortunate to be able to hang on. It's not simple. Okay.